for you. Amen. You know, the expectation of children is so special because they say, I can't wait to grow up. What they really mean is I can't wait to grow up and see what God has for me. But anybody that wants to stay a baby, that means that you don't want to see what God has for you. You want to stay in the same shape you're in. You want to stay in the same predicament. You want to stay doing the same thing all the days of your life. There's something wrong with you. Amen. So we ought to all want to what? Grow up. Amen. I couldn't wait to grow up. Now that I grow up, I say, I don't want to go back to being a baby, but let me go back to about 18 to where I ain't got no bills, you know. Amen. But that's okay. I take the good with the bad. I take the ups with the downs, right? Amen. I still want to be grown, but I don't want to have all the, you know. Amen. But we all good. You all good? Amen. It's all good because it's all God. Tell somebody. Say, it's all good because it's all God. Amen. Amen. You have 1 Peter, if you would stand with me, if you can. If you can't, I understand. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And we're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 5 through verse 11. I've added 3 verses because last night I didn't look at those 3. And this morning they just leaped back up at me and say, preach me too. And I said, okay, can't disclude you. I'm going to include you. Amen. Amen. Look at verse number 5. And we'll read all the way to verse number 11. How about that? Amen. And if you have the words, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and give grace to the humble. I'm stopping so you can think about it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then verse 8 is where I was going to preach, and I'm going to, but still. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. May keep it. May God a blessing to hear and do of his word. So today we want to speak from those verses. And I have a thought on the title of the topic. Grow up and know your adversary. Still talking about growing up, right? And know your adversary. Amen. Amen. This particular chapter is the conclusion of the letter, the first letter that Peter wrote. Peter, we know, again, is a man that could tell you about growing up because he made a lot of mistakes before he became the Peter that we know as the great apostle, the leader of the church, the New Testament church. Amen. He grew up in a short matter of time, not like some of us. It takes us a long time. We just keep doing the same old stuff. Keep bumping our head over and over and over and over and over. Somebody said that if you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, is insanity. And if you're a grown person and you still do that, it's immaturity and insanity. Amen. Preach. Amen. But Peter opens up this particular chapter, or he ends the particular letter with talking about the elders. And he said he wanted to encourage them because of all the mess that was going on, all the persecution they were receiving, all the things that was happening in their life. But he told them, he said, in spite of the attack on your life and in spite of the attack on the church, he says, feed the flock of God. that is among you. Amen. Now, when you talk about feeding the flock, it's more than just, just getting up. And, you know, some people think it's all about just getting up with a microphone and saying some words and then get your hoop. It's more to it than that. It's defending them from the wolves. Amen. It's praying, amen, for them. It is helping whenever you can. Amen. It is more to it than just getting up hollering at a few people. He says that you got oversight, meaning God puts you in a position as an under-shepherd to oversee. He said, but don't do it because you feel a constraint. He said, but be willing to do this. And don't do it because you can see a gain. But he said, do it because with readiness of mind. In other words, that's what in my mind, I think about doing it, and that's what I want to do because I'm willing to do it because God has called me to do it. Amen. Yeah. But then he goes on to talk about not being lords over God's heritage. But, you know, some people, that's what they, you know, you got some people, they can't go to a church unless somebody lord over them. And they'll say, well, for people who don't lord over me, ain't no order in that church because the pastor don't fuss at me and tell me what to do every minute. If God wanted us to be robots, he would have just created me a bunch of robots, and I could tell them what to do. Alexa. And Google and whoever else it is, right? But God put people in your life not to be robots, but to be people that he called to be individuals. Amen. 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 So we shouldn't lord over. So you don't serve me. You serve God. Amen. Amen. And be an example of the flock. Peter talks about all of this stuff, but then he goes down and, he said the reason why is because the shepherd, the true shepherd, the chief shepherd is going to come one day. The arch shepherd is going to come, and he's going to give you a crown that don't fade away. So don't do it for anything else, but no, do it for the one reason is that he said, well done. Amen. Amen. So many people get out of the well done, and they want some. Amen. Give me some of this. Give me some money. Give me some servants, you know. But then he goes on, and I'm going to get to it because I got two more services today, so y'all bear with me here. He says in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, some people preach this or teach this, and they think that he's talking about the young people submitting to the old folks. That's not what this says. Look at the text. He says, and the reason why I went to verse 1 was he said the elders, meaning those who are of the presbytery, those who are the leaders of the church, right? And then so he goes on to say, now everybody that is there, the younger, well, what he's saying here is not that he's saying that that he's talking about a physical age. He's talking about the one that God has grown up spiritually. That's your elder. That's the one that you follow. Amen. That's the pastor. Amen. That's the one who is the leader of the church. He said, if you're younger, just like younger children sit at the feet of their elders and learn. They don't do that no more. They sit on the games now. But when we were young, we used to sit at the feet of our elders, and we would listen to them talk, and they would tell us things and lessons for life that we didn't understand even then. But when we got older, we said, now I understand what mama was talking about. We used to sit and listen to what they had to say. Now we send them to the room and then expect them to have sense when they come out. It don't just happen that way. They have to listen. You have to spend time talking to them. You have to spend time giving them something to live by. If you expect your child to just do good and do right and to understand, that don't mean nothing in today's society. You have to talk to them. You have to spend time with them. You have to tell them what's right. Tell them what's wrong. Let them know what's disappointing to you. Y'all with me still? Some, don't get mad at me. I'm just the nail hanging a hole in the mirror. Amen. But he says the younger. You know, this spiritual life is kind of like, you know how dog years is different from human years? You have a dog that's born on the same day as your child, but that dog grows up a lot faster than your child does. The child 1 year old, the dog 7 years old after 1 year, right? And that's the way it is spiritually. You don't, because you're old, don't mean that you're spiritually grown up. Because you got some people that keep up a bunch of mess because they big size. Huh? They seem like they're grown, but they're not really grown. Uh-huh. They're still a child at heart, a child spiritually, and don't understand spiritual things. Now, so he goes on to say, look at this. He says in verse 5, he says, younger, submit yourselves unto the what? Elder. So the first thing we need to do is submit to the pastor. Right? Y'all got that? Write that down. Submit to the pastor. The younger, submit to the what? Elder. Then he said, yea, all of you be subject to one another. Now, this is the part nobody likes. Because not only are we to submit to the pastor, but we'll submit to the people. Write that down. We are to submit not only to pastor, but we submit to people. Amen. Submit yourselves one to a who? To another. And so when he says that, he's telling us this is how you develop a relationship with people, is by submission. Now, submitting is not saying that that you're weaker than the next person, but what it's saying is that I give up what my will is and I submit to another's will. Amen. Now, and so what he's saying here, he said, you likewise, he said, younger, submit yourself to the elder, and yeah. All you be subject to one another. All. Now, if you ain't in all, I don't know what you are. We are all in that word all. He says, submit yourselves one to another. It is imperative, it is important that we build kingdom relationships. Amen. Kingdom relationships are built upon submission, forgiveness, and love. I wish I had somebody. If you don't submit, if you don't forgive, and if you can't love somebody, then you got a serious problem. And you're going to miss heaven, and you're going to miss Christ. You can't be like Christ if you can't love and submit and forgive. Amen. Oh, y'all don't care about that one. Y'all don't care about that one. He says, for us to be subject to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. So he tells us that we ought to submit to the pastor, submit to the people, but he tells us to be clothed with humility. In other words, let that be what people see when they see you. Don't let it be some kind of, anger, bitterness, hatred, envy, strife. Don't let that be said that that's what they see when they see you. Because you see people sometimes, you can see strife all over. You can see they just coming with some junk. Oh, no, negativity, I'm gone. Amen. Amen. He said, be clothed with. What you see my clothes, right? In other words, that's what we're supposed to be wearing. We're supposed to wear humility so people can see humility. And humility ought to look good on us. Amen. Some people think you being humble and mean to be weak. It's not being weak, but it's being what God wants you to be. Because he said, if you're humble, he'll exalt you. Amen. There is no other way but the humble way. Amen. Amen. I may not get too many amens, but thank you a few rows of people that's saying it. And so he says now, he said, clothed with humility. For look at this now. He said, for God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. I don't have to preach that again. I preached that a while back. God resists the what? Proud, but he gives grace to the who? Humble. That is why it's important for you to be humble. Because if you're not humble and you don't build kingdom relationships and you're not submitted, then God, the word resist actually means, listen to this, it actually means God fight against you. And you wondering why I'm going through all of this, it could be God fighting against you. Because you haven't humbled yourself. You haven't submitted yourself. You haven't tried to be submitted to the pastor. You submitted to the people. You don't care what I say. Even if I'm saying what God say, you're going to do what you want. Talk slow. Maybe you'll grow. If I talk slow, maybe you'll grow. I've been talking too fast lately. So he says that God will resist the proud. In other words, he will hold back on you and he will fight you. God will blow on your money. God will push you back every time. He will shut a door when you think you're about to step in. Because of what we wear. We wear pride. We cloak ourselves in that. You don't know who I am. I don't take that mess. I'm about to show you. Okay, show them. And then watch God show you. Show them. Go ahead, show them. Show them who you are. And then God has to show you who he is. And we got to understand when he says submit one to another, God does not love one person less than he love another.
Amen.
But we go to God as if he going to choose side. God do something to him and because they did something. God ain't finna choose. You can't, let me tell you something. You ain't bad enough, smooth enough to manipulate God to choose side. God will whoop both of y'all by. You know, You ever got to a place where you had your kids and they just keep something going on and then, you know, they want you to choose side and you say, everybody's about to get a whooping. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to straighten up. No, you wanted this because you brought it to me. Now, I done came over the bridge. Now, you want me to go back, but I got to whoop somebody before I go. God will tear all of our behinds up. Y'all still with me here? And we can't try to get God to choose sides. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In other words, he enables the humble. He gives gifts to the humble. He blesses the humble. He gives favor to those who humble themselves. If we humble ourselves, God will give us favor. You want God to give you favor because you went through something? No. He ain't going to give you favor because you went through. He's going to give you favor if you humble yourself while you go through. Preach. Tell somebody, he preaching, whether you believe it or not, he's preaching. He says, he gives grace, charis, grace to the humble, to the one who submitted, the one who is not built up in pride, the one who is not pompous, the one who don't think he know it all, the one who don't think that everything ought to revolve around them. Amen. Y'all still with me? I might say a little bit of something in a minute. Y'all might say amen, but then he says this, not only are we to be humble and submitted to each other, but then he goes on to say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. It is beneficial to you that you humble yourself. Now, let me go back. He says, let me recap. He says, first submit to the who? Pastor. Y'all with me? Then submit to the what? People. And then look at this. Submit to the power of God. Humble yourselves under the what? Mighty. That's his power. The ability to make things happen. The miracle hand of God. The powerful hand of God. The healing hand of God. The delivering hand of God. That is the power of God. He says submit to the power of the hand of God. Submit to God's ability to do anything but fail, lie, and die. Yes. Y'all still with me here? Yes. He says, submit. If we submit unto God, he said he will what? Exalt us. So no matter how low you go in submitting yourself and humbling yourself, it is God that's going to lift you up. But it's too many times we look for people to lift us up. We look for the people to try to help us, bring us out. If they're not there, we mad with them. We get angry. And our attention should be on God and not on people in the first place. Amen. Let me tell you something. People are going to let you down. They are going to let you down. They are going to not be there for you. They're going to do all manner of whatever you think they ain't going to do, they're going to do it. And once they do it, you got to know how to be humble and forgiving. Preach anyhow. Oh, yeah, we can want something bad to happen to them. We can, oh, yeah, we want to do this, but that ain't even God's will. You know what God will do just to aggravate your immaturity? He'll bless them right in your face. Preach. He will, just to aggravate you, to show you how immature you are. That's why I learned something. I learned how to pray for my enemies first. I pray first people I talk about in my prayers, my Lord, bless my enemies. Lord, bless their children. You know, that's a hard thing to do when you think that you know, they hate your guts. But then the more you do it, the more you start saying, I don't know, they don't even matter. So he says that he'll exalt you in what? Due time is a period that God has appointed for you to get up from where you are. God has appointed a time to lift you. But we don't want to wait on the time. God has appointed a time to bless you. But we don't want to wait on the blessed time. We want it now because we're immature. All right? Let me use this example again. When we go to Walmart, you take a little child to Walmart and they want something, you put it in their hand and the woman has to scan it at the counter, take it away from them. See what happens. They don't understand that it needs to be paid for. I just want it now. Don't take it out of my hand. Don't move it. But we ain't got sense enough to know that it's got to be paid for. And if you ain't paying for it, what you crying for? And that is the way it is with God. We cry about stuff that he already paid the price for. We cry about things that he already decided to do. We cry about stuff that God has already put it in the making, but we don't even understand that it's already done. And here we are crying over something that we have no control over. People that we can't control. Things that we can't do nothing about. We just got to let go and let God have his way. And when God has his way, then in due time, anybody waiting on due time, you know what due time is? Go pick up your bill, and on your bill it say a date due. That's what God is saying. I got a date due for you, but let me tell you, some of y'all already passed the due date because you've been insufficient on maturity. You've been insufficient on faith. I wish I had somebody. You ain't got, just like you don't have the money, I ain't got it. I just got to pay it late. Well, you got to inquire some late fees. And God is saying to you that you, if you had faith to begin with in the bank of spirituality, then you could have in due time what I intended for you to have. Do I have any witnesses in the house? In due time. But we don't want to wait on due time. We want everything to be so easy. We want everything to flow our way. We don't want any ripples in the water. We want it to be like a pool. Well, let me tell you something. This ain't a pool. This is a river. We're going somewhere. It's not stagnated. It's flowing. I wish I had somebody here. And we must understand that God is not going to just let us be blessed any kind of way. He has his way. Amen. He has the way that he blesses us. He has the way that he keeps us. He has the way that he, you know, and we can't choose our own way. We got to go his way. We got to stop thinking we know the way and know that God is the way. We got to know, we got to understand that it's no reason for us to get in our own conceits and think that we're going to figure it out and we're going to devise a plan, because if you don't watch it, the devil will get in your plan. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. And he will create a scandal. Scandalon is the Greek word, meaning he will create a plan for your life, and you think it's you. You think that's your bright idea, and God said you didn't even pray, but you just devised the plan, and the devil put a detour in there, and you didn't even know it. And he just messed you up. And now, instead of you getting to where your destination was 10 miles, now you got to go 100 just to get back, because you had a plan. The Bible said many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is God's counsel that will stand. All right, okay, that ain't what you want to hear. Let me find another one. Lord, let's find another one here. All right, in verse 7, here we go, yeah. Casting your cares upon him, for he cared for you. Casting your cares means that we need to throw our cares. We need to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. He cared. The word cared means provide. In the Greek, it means to provide. And so if I cast what I need upon him, he will provide what I need. Uh-huh. But we don't cast it upon him. We try to cast it on everybody else. And you know what? Ain't none of us sufficient enough to take care of what you need. Paul said, my God shall supply all your... Now, he's not talking to everybody in that text. He's only talking to those who communicated to the word of God, who give their time, who give their talent, and give their treasure to the word. Yeah. You got to say amen. That's true. Amen. It's in there. If you read it, it's there. And so he said that we got to cast our care upon him. And what does he say? He said, whatever makes us anxious, whatever gives us anxiety, he said, we need to give it to God. But we don't give it to him. We used to always talk about come to the altar, leave it there. You know, take it to the Lord in prayer, leave it right there. Don't pick it back up. But you know what? We don't never put it down. It's a shame when you can come to the altar and be defeated and be broken and then leave the altar and go back because you won't receive. You don't even know the meaning of the altar. The altar is not for me to pray the blessings on you. It's for you to put the burdens down and leave your lighter so God can load you up with the benefits of life that he has for you. You have to do something. You have to lay the burden down. You have to say, I'm tired of it and I'm rolling it over on him. You have to. You have to do. Not come up here and just, you know, I want the pastor to make it better. You already messed up. Because I don't have the power to make it better. God has the power, but he wants you to lose something so he can give you something. Amen. You holding on? As they say, you got something in your hand. If you want to receive, you got to let go of what you got so that you can receive what God has for you. Amen. All right, let me go on because I'll be too long. You got to know your adversary. Look at what it says. Be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he says be sober first. Now, I know when we read text, we always thinking physical. Yeah. We always thinking fleshly. Yeah. By now, if you're mature enough, you ought to know that you know you can't serve God and be drunk at the same time, right? All right. Okay, so we all sober in here today, right? Yeah. So that's not really what this means. You know what it actually means? It means to be spiritually alert, to know your surroundings spiritually. Now, if I pass the mic and ask you, where are you spiritually, could you really tell me? I bet you couldn't. Because we're too caught up. The devil keeps us so busy with events in the world. He keeps us so busy with stuff that's going on in our flesh. He keeps us so busy with things that go on in our mind that we don't even know where we are spiritually. Oh, I know where I am now. But I didn't know a while back. But I know now because I found out I can't be focused on everything that's going on. Amen. So I spend less time on social media, less time watching the news. So I can find where I'm at. Less time listening to junk. Hanging with people that all they do is talk about junk. Amen. Huh? I want my spirit right so I can be a help to people who really want help. Amen. Oh, okay. He says, be sober. We must be sober. We need to come to a place where we have a calming spirit, where we're temperate, where we're circumspect spiritually, right? Where we are collected, calm and collected in our spirit to where I'm not so easily moved. Mm-hmm. All right? Let me just, since you think about people that's drunk, it don't take much to get them to fight. They'll fight people who they wouldn't fight if they were sober. Y'all with me here? Okay, y'all act like y'all. Okay, I've been drunk, and I fought my friends, since y'all don't want to admit it. I've done that. But when it was all over, we were still friends. All right, but I did that. I did. And so when you're not sober, you tend to fight everybody. You tend to have strife when you're not sober because you don't know that your adversary is the devil. You think it's people. We have to be sober. I'm trying to hurry because I got to go. We have to be sober. A person who's sober wouldn't fight people that they love.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30